Happy Friday, Kim.
Well, Sonny, I understand you are beginning with boxing this evening.
Kim, Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao faces American Timothy Bradley Saturday night in a welterweight rematch in Las Vegas, Nevada. When the two fought in 2012, Bradley scored a controversial split decision victory. Let's hear what the two boxers had to say at their final pre-fight news conference. First, the Pac-Man.
Thank you so much to all the fans. Well, everything's all set. Both come. We're almost finished our training and ready for Saturday. It's going to be a good fight. Never know. Nobody knows, but only God knows what's going to be. But both fighters were doing our best to do our job in the ring to make you guys happy and to give a good fight, to make people happy. And this fight is very important to me and to my boxing career. Of course, my opponent also is claiming that this fight is also very important. So it's going to be a very, very good fight on Saturday. So don't miss it. Thank you so much to all the fans, especially to all the Filipino people who always support and praying for me. Thank you. God bless you all.
Now let's hear from the Pac-Man's opponent on Saturday night, World Boxing Organization welterweight champion Timothy Bradley.
I want to thank Pacquiao, his whole team, man, and for coming to agreements and giving me another shot and another chance, man, to prove to all the fans around the world that I'm a true champion, I'm a true fighter, that I'm the world champion, man. So with that said, I mean, everything's been said in the media. It doesn't really matter what we say. It only matters what we do. And this Saturday, man, it's all that matters is what we do in the ring. And we're going to put on a great show for the fans and all the millions around the world that's going to be watching. And I'm telling you, there's not going to be a soul in the arena or any fan around the world that's going to be disappointed. Man, Manny Pacquiao is basically went through hell in training camp. I'm sure he went through hell. I went through hell during my training camp to put on a great show for all the fans and the millions of fans that's watching around the world. But thank you so much. I'm excited for this challenge and this opportunity, and I definitely want to seize the moment. Thank you guys very much.
Joining us once again is our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta. Good evening, Namdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Namdi, we heard Timothy Bradley say that he and the Pac-Man have gone through hell in their training camps, and he's promising a great show on Saturday night for all boxing fans. Rematch, Bradley Pac-Man 2. Your thoughts?
It's a good fight, hands down. Manny won the first fight. Manny Pacquiao won the first fight easily. And I think the judges stole the fight from the fans and from Manny Pacquiao. But the second time around, Sonny, I don't think it's going to be that easy for Manny Pacquiao because the pressure is on Manny to look good, not only to look good, to prove to the fight fans and to the boxing world that after that destruction by Juan Manuel Marquez, that he can still be a force to be reckoned with in that division.
Namdi, what are Bradley and Pac-Man getting in terms of purses?
Interesting, Sonny. The first fight, Manny Pacquiao got $26 million. For this second fight, he's taking a pay cut. He's getting a guaranteed $6 million and a minimum of $20 million, which means if he walks away with $26 million, he will be happy. But looking at that numbers compared to what Manny Mayweather takes home, the figures are really, really low. So if the pay-per-view numbers don't add up, we don't see a $1 million buy, he'd be lucky if he walks away with $20 million guaranteed.
Namdi, in the build-up to this fight, Timothy Bradley received a special visitor.
Like I always say, for every fight, everybody had a game plan. As of right now, there's not a blueprint on how to beat Floyd Mayweather. No one has found the way to break the Mayweather code.
Floyd Mayweather, who will fight next month against Argentina's Marcos Maidana. What was that visit all about, Namdi?
It was right here in Hollywood. Floyd Mayweather came to camp to check out Bradley. That's why you got to give kudos to Manny Mayweather because he knows the move he needs to make, you know. A win by Bradley Saturday night at MGM Grand. Who do you want Manny Mayweather to fight after he takes care of Maidana? Timothy Bradley. So he knows that a win over Pacquiao, fans want to see him and Bradley tango. Then he can make a special offer. Hey, look, Bradley was only making $6 million from this fight Saturday night. Manny Mayweather can drop $30 million on the table, I didn't know what's going to happen. Money talks, man.
Show me the money.
Nnamdi, let's talk about two African fighters, Joshua Kloti from Ghana and Samuel Peter from Nigeria. First, Joshua Kloti goes down under and scores a big victory. VOA! Tell our VOA listeners about that.
Sonny, that was beat down, down under. When the fighter is the promoter, that means you have to kill him to win the fight. Because he's fighting in his house, in front of his family, with his own judges. You know? Even one of the judges had it 115-109. That just shows you that they were about to steal the fight. He had Anthony Mundine down 5 times, dropped him in the first time in third round, twice in round 6, round 8, and round 10. In any other place, they will have stopped the fight. 5 knockdowns. Why? Because the fighter is a promoter. He puts up the money. He pays the referee and the judges. It reminds me of the 80s when the professor from Ghana, Accra, Ghana, Azuma Nelson, came into the Fabulous Forum right here in Los Angeles and destroyed the Mexican superstars in front of their family. I mean, not many fighters can do that, man.
Nnamdi, this win in Australia, does it resurrect Kloti's career?
Oh, yes, big time. This is a huge win. I mean, mind you, Anthony Mundine was the last man to beat Shane Mosley. He lost $500,000 putting on that fight with Shane Mosley, but he won that fight. So he was counting on a win over Joshua Kloti, who put him in position to take on Floyd Mayweather. Anthony Mundine is a big draw in Australia. This win by Joshua Kloti set him up for Canelo Alvarez. So you're not talking about $1 million or $2 million. You're looking at least $4-5 million for homeboy from Accra. Good money, bro.
Show me the money.
You're banking, man.
Show me the money.
Serious banking.
Nnamdi, let's talk about your homeboy from Nigeria, Samuel Peter. What's next for him?
He's going down to New Zealand for a Super 8 heavyweight tournament, but homeboy has not been in the ring in a long time. They're taking him over there because they have an Australian heavyweight in the tournament. So what will happen? They use Samuel Peter, and they steal the fight from Samuel Peter, and the Australian heavyweight will win the tournament, and they will go on. The winner of this tournament is supposed to pick up $200,000. But the big question is, what has homeboy been doing in Las Vegas all this time? If he comes in out of shape, he will embarrass himself, disgrace himself, and that will be the end of him in the fight game. He has no business going into a 3 or 4 round Super 8 heavyweight tournament. He's a former heavyweight champion. You know, he should be in the mix with all these lazy fat guys. So in a tournament where they will steal the fight from him, that will be the end for Samuel Peter.
Nnamdi, it's been a few years since the great heavyweight champion Smokin' Joe Frazier passed. And now it looks like he'll finally be honored properly in his home city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Tell us about that.
Sonny, I remember your visit to Philadelphia to meet with Joe Frazier when he was alive. And what really touched me was what you told me, that he lived above the gym.
Yes.
In his final days. And that really, really hurt me. You talk about Philadelphia, say, city of brotherly love. City of brotherly love. The city of where great fighters like Joe Frazier made the city what it is, has Sylvester Stallone's statue right there, whereas the man that went 15 rounds with Muhammad Ali with 2 great fights got nothing to show for it. Finally, Bernard Hopkins, a Philly fighter himself, and Golden Boy Oscar De La Hoya, they'll put up the money to erect a statue for Joe Frazier. Smoking Joe Frazier must be honored, whereas we can go up there and look at Sylvester Stallone from Hollywood with his hands raised up, and people come out and look at that every time. That's just a slap to in the face of boxing. Way overdue. We can honor Sylvester Stallone and all the Hollywood nonsense, but come on, man, this is the warrior that went toe-to-toe with Muhammad Ali, former world champion, one of the top heavyweights in the world. We must salute him.
Nnamdi, here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute for the late, great world heavyweight boxing champion, Smokin' Joe Frazier. Joining us once again from Johannesburg this evening is our African football guru, David Legg, who says South Africa's national team coach could soon be on the chopping block.
National coach Gord Nickerson. Now, his contract is due to end in August. and it's highly unlikely it'll be renewed. He's had a number of disappointments. First of all, it was the Africa Cup of Nations, which South Africa hosted in 2013. The mandate for him was to reach the semifinals, but he only reached the quarterfinals. Another mandate was to qualify South Africa for the World Cup in Brazil, but he didn't even make the playoffs. For the African Nations Championship just a few months ago in South Africa again, the expectations were that South Africa would certainly go far in the competition. South Africa did not even make it to the quarterfinals, and this was a competition many South Africans felt that Iggeson should have led his team to the gold medal. And then, Sonny, I felt a final chance for Gordon Iggeson to sort of get out of a corner he had painted himself into, and that was the friendly game against Brazil. But unfortunately, Neymar came. He was in superb form. He scored a hat-trick, and Brazil won 5-0. So I think that was the final nail in the coffin. But, Sonny, what is really affecting Iggeson at the moment is a probe into accusations against him. He is alleged to have taken instructions from certain football agents regarding the composition of the South African team. And even more seriously, he is alleged to have incited the South African players to go on strike if they did not get an increase in their bonuses. Now, there's a probe underway, and the results are due by mid-April. And clearly, if Gordon Iggeson is found guilty on probably either, never mind both of those charges, I think he will part ways immediately. So there was a certain irony, Sonny, when I went to Soweto for the announcement by Iggeson of the South African team to tour Australia and New Zealand at the end of May, because Iggeson named an 18-man squad. But come the end of May, when they play in Sydney and then later in Auckland, he may not even be in charge of the national squad.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.